Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Zed heads, welcome to the podcast. I'm Jason.
And I'm Lucy.
And this is the Walking Dead cast, episode 472. And 8 more episodes of the show left. I keep thinking about how it's almost over. And
oh my god, yeah.
It's kind of sad.
I think I'm living in denial until they tell us a date. I'm like, oh, it's never happening.
They're not giving us a date. I presume they're going to tell us a date at Comic-Con San Diego, which is in July,
That would make sense. Yeah, because yeah. I think some of us thought they might do it at the Fear finale. But I mean, no one watches it, so
I know. I was hoping they would do that. So at Comic-Con, if they haven't done it before, they've got to do it then. They always have a Walking Dead presence there.
Yeah.
But anyway, out of sheer nostalgia, we have something a little bit different for you guys today. It's kind of looking back on Walking Dead cast and also The Walking Dead a bit. So Karen and I started Walking Dead cast back a few months before The Walking Dead premiered, and we wanted to put out regular episodes, at least 2 a month. And since there were only 6 episodes in that first season, there was also a lot of time in between season 1 and 2. And we covered a lot of like quirky horror movies and stuff, but we also would do these kind of goofy zombie and Walking Dead related top fives a lot, like top 5 props we'd steal from The Walking Dead and stuff like that. So I thought it would be fun to redo some of those with you since we haven't gotten your opinion. And also I barely remember what I said. So, and things have changed since then. Like it's been 12 years and more zombie games and movies have come out and maybe our opinions on things have changed. So I thought it would be fun to just pick a few of those and revisit them. So it'll be, top 5 props we'd steal from The Walking Dead, top 5 things we'd do if we got bit, top 5 things we'd do as zombies or walkers, and top 5 favorite zombie anythings, like movies, games, comics, whatever. So that's what we're doing today.
Amazing. Yeah, I'm excited. Some of these were really easy and some of them I was like, I know. Really don't know. So it's going to be interesting to see what comes up. And I cannot believe that these were done like 12, 10 years ago. That is madness. Madness.
Some of the, like, I was like, oh yeah, this will be fun. I remember Karen and I used to get really goofy. And then when I got to top 5 things we'd do if we got bit, I was like, oh yeah, this one's actually pretty dark. Like, you're about to die. What will you do? So much fun.
Yeah, it was interesting comparing that to what you would do as a zombie. I was
All right, so revisiting early Walking Dead cast top fives. First one is top 5 props we'd steal from The Walking Dead, originally done in Walking Dead cast number 65 in May of 2012, so about 10 years ago. And let's go. Why don't you go first?
Okay, so my first one is the horrible cat ornament that Michonne gives Carl and Claire. Because that's a really lovely episode, and I have a little sticker of it on my computer that Claire Lang Retro gave me. And I just love it. I think it's such a fun Michonne moment in quite a brilliant episode. So I would love that. I would love to have it.
It's a cool little piece, too.
Oh, it's so wonderful.
And she went back for it, right? Kind of putting herself in a little danger together. Yeah. I think
she says something like, it was so damn beautiful or something, like really sarcastically, which I love.
And that was an awesome, iconic episode too.
Clear. Yeah, and it says so much about their little relationship that develops, or their big relationship that develops. So yeah, the colored cat from Clear. CCC.
And see, that's another thing about this list is a lot of props. I think many of the props on my list came out after we first did this. So there's a lot more to choose from. I already have a pretty good replica of Rick's gun as Colt Python from when I dressed up as Rick for Halloween a while back at Walker Stalker.
Ooh.
And I have his sheriff's belt and his boots and everything, his watch. So that's not on my list because I kind of feel like that's fulfilled. But my number five, sort of related to yours, is Michonne's katana because it's a fucking katana. It's cool.
Yes, it's badass. It is absolutely badass.
Yeah. And if I was a woman or maybe trans, I'd want her outfit too. I think she has one of the coolest outfits.
She never looks like everyone else can sometimes look a bit sort of downtrodden and not great, but she always looks really freaking cool.
Yeah, she looks badass and hot, and she's got her dreads and everything and that like leather vest or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Okay.
My next one is Glenn's watch or Herschel's watch because it's a lovely piece. I have a thing about like proper watches and old pocket watches, but I also loved what they did with the kind of symbolism of it. So obviously it like passing from Herschel to Glenn when he kind of approves of him and Maggie's relationship. But there was something, I wish I'd looked it up properly. At the end of season five, the last few episodes all have names. 12 is remember, 13 is forget.
And it was all from Dale's speech when he was talking about time.
Yeah, so you have remember, forget, spend, try, and conquer. And I think it's about foolishness or wisdom. And I just love that because Glenn had good relationships with both Dale and Herschel. And yeah, that to me is a really iconic prop. Where is it now? Who has it? Is it still in the show? I can't remember. It was on his grave.
I don't know. I know Rick has a watch, but it's not the same one, right? That's gone around a little bit too.
Because he's got a wristwatch.
Yeah. I don't know. We'll have to look into that.
It was on Glenn's grave and then Dickface stole it. Gregory.
Oh, he did?
But I don't know where. Christ. Yeah, well, he took it. Remember, Maggie sees it, and she's like, ah, and then she, like, friggin' kills him. Not for that at that point, but she's pretty pissed off about it.
That's interesting, because I was just watching from an episode from my favorite period leading up to Terminus, and when they get to Terminus, and Rich, I mean, I keep saying Rich, because I've been podcasting with Richard, Rick sees his own watch on one of the termites, and that's when he freaks out and realizes what they are, grabs one of them and holds a gun to his head.
Yeah, it's been the focal point of a lot of cool scenes. I think I've just quickly looked it up because that's actually annoying. You know, the last I heard, Maggie gave it to Enid. That's the last kind of tracked thing I can find about it on the internet. Boy. I don't know where it is now.
Like maybe Alpha just like threw it off to
probably
the side.
The whispers of it now. Oops.
we should look though to make sure, because that's a great thing about The Walking Dead is these items just become symbols for the characters and different concepts and things.
Someone is definitely listening to this going, it's in this place, you idiot. And I'm like, I don't remember. I don't know where it is. I don't
know. Well, let us know right in. That's another thing about the podcast that's been a tradition for 12 years is people write us in and let us know. They fill in for our deficiencies.
Yes, exactly. They do the thinking.
So my number four is another weapon, Morgan's staff.
Oh, nice. Which
I mean, I particularly, there's so many weapons, you know, you have Daryl's crossbow and Rick's gun and everything, I liked Morgan Staff because of the episode that it premiered in with Eastman, the cheesemaker, teaching him how to use it. And that was...
Oh, the cheesemaker, yes.
And that was sort of reminiscent of when Morgan decided to revere all life. So he wanted a weapon that he could use to incapacitate people without killing them. Mm-hmm. And it's just cool because you need to know martial arts to use it. And Lenny James learned how to use it and look cool. And then when he went back, because Morgan also, an iconic thing about Morgan is how he flip-flops, his character keeps changing, and the staff could accommodate that just by sharpening one end, which was also pretty damn cool.
That was awesome. I think now it's got, oh God, God knows what it's got now. Does it have an axe attached to it, or is he just using an axe now? Oh God,
he had, yeah. I mean, once it got to Fear, it was sort of tainted in my head. But exactly. I think it broke or something. I don't think he has it anymore. I could be wrong about that.
Yeah, I feel like someone broke it.
Yeah.
It should be broken now.
Something's broken about it. Yeah, it's all broken. Okay.
Well, next. I have a weapon too, the red machete. Just for Rick's iconic description of where it is and what he's going to do with it to Gareth and Terminus. And it also, I quite like the web series of the Red Machete as well. I thought that was really cool. So for me, that is one of the iconic weapons that I would want to have, would be the Red Machete. I think that would be awesome.
That's my next one too, number three, red handled machete, because when you think of that for me, I think of Rick chopping up Gareth and his buddies in the
four
church.
Walls and a roof.
And that really symbolizes Rick just descent into complete darkness, you know, just hack. I mean, they were going to eat him and his friends. So, but it's tied to Rick, my favorite. And it has this great history. I think Joe the Claimer, we saw him pull it from a walker. That was the first thing we saw him claim.
Yes, I think that's
in
right.
In the show. Mm-hmm. And then when Rick, like, bit out his throat. He took it from him and then he used it to chop up the termites. But then, we got the red machete, which showed it. Somebody picked it up from a hardware store and then it changed hands a few times. And then I think it actually, a savior stole it and then it ended up back in the hands of somebody in that red machete series that it had originated with or something like that. So it's one of those cool things where you just follow an object around.
It was quite arty. I enjoyed that. Yeah. It was one of the ones. I don't usually love the web series, but that was one that stood out for me.
Pretty bad, in my opinion.
Yeah.
That was a good one.
All right. My next one is Lance Hornsby. No, I'm joking.
One of the listeners had joked that that's what you would pick. I think.
Oh, no. I will finish my sentence. Lance Hornsby's waistcoat. Any of his amazing waistcoat outfits, I think, would be brilliant to have. Tailoring should not be underestimated. The more flamboyant, the better. I think he would. I mean, he'd look good with a pocket watch, actually.
Mm-hmm.
If Maggie feels like it, I mean, I doubt that's going to happen. I would take one of his waistcoats. I think that would be fun. It's also very much a part of who that character is, having a waistcoat and that kind of tailored approach. So I think that would be awesome.
And just the way the show has turned back towards civilization at the end, it represents that too.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
All right. My number two is a Whisperer mask.
Ew.
I mean, I'm thinking of this more of as a prop than an actual.
Yeah, fair. Like a
dead
thing you
person's
would use.
Face.
Nico, time for breakfast.
But I love this period in the comics. I've mentioned this before, but I wasn't sure it would translate over to the screen, and I thought it was even better on screen. It was so cool to see the Whispers walking around among the zombies and, you know, incognito. And sometimes not knowing for sure whether Azed was a Whisperer or not, and that whole aspect of it. And I just thought, man, these... I think they do still have a couple of those. Maybe Lydia has one. And I was like, they should just grab a couple of those and they don't even have to cover themselves with guts. They can just put one of these on and go out.
They are a really good idea. That's the thing is, I know I'm like, ew, but also like, yeah, the risk of infection if you got yourself is really high. So I think, does Negan still have one? Because they made them, didn't they?
That's right.
Wonder... Yeah, because Negan kept his for sentimental purposes. memories of doing it in the toilet.
I thought I was about to die, but it's the opposite.
I came alive. They could have made the masks look really stupid on screen. Like, it's something that works in the comic, and you're like, is this going to translate? Yeah. But they really did. It was really awesome.
I guess it makes sense because, you know, Greg Nicotero does the makeup on the show, and he made the masks too, so he can do it well.
And I loved what they did with Alpha's face, having Beta make like a half and half mask with that very white. That was really awesome.
That was cool. But I would just want one of the standard ones, not one of the ones that stand out like Alpha's or Beta's with the missing bottom half, so his beard can show through. I don't know why. I just want it to look more like a...
You want an to be average practical.
Zombie. Yeah. I don't want to be like a celebrity zombie or anything.
I don't want to be a celebrity zombie. I just want to be myself, you know? Fair enough.
What's your top item?
So my top item is a lot of like conventions and stuff, I'm always quite jealous because people can like cosplay, and I've never really found anyone in the universe that I could really cosplay as unless I like threw on a white coat and pretended to be Dr. Denise. But I've decided that being princess would be awesome. So I would love to have either princess's goggles from her original outfit or her pink jacket. I think both of those would be great. And I would happily cosplay as princess all the time because she's awesome. And I think I could make my hair look cool.
I mean, if I was going to pick one of those for you, I'd definitely want you to have the pink furry jacket.
Yeah. I think that's where my heart lies, is the pink furry jacket. So I would love that.
Which we got to see her wearing at Fandemic at her booth. She had that on and
was just like
joyously interacting with all the fans and everything.
Amazing. <It's cool.
laughs> Okay, my number one, I actually went back and looked at this and it was a different object than I thought. I thought it was a clipboard, but it turns out it's a ledger, like a book of Gareth, the lead Termite.
Excellent.
And you know, that's my favorite era, and this accountant's ledger is a symbol of everything about Gareth and the Termites. It's all casual and unassuming, like they're pretending to be so chill and helpful, but they're fucking cannibals. And that one scene where he busts it out is when they're all leaning over the trough and getting whacked in the head one by one, and then throat slit and you see the blood going down, and they're about to whack Glenn, and he's standing there with his ledger just like, hey, I think you guys, the shot count is not right here. And they basically see these people as cattle. He doesn't even need to pay attention to them. And that was just so chilling. And it reminds me of how one reason I love that whole segment of the show so much is a lot of times villains are like this, or they're just like full of bravado. Yeah. He's just like Mr. Preppy. And it was much more chilling that way for me. So
absolutely. He's like your friendly RA in like your dormitory or something. He's like, hey, does somebody remember to clean the microwave? And it's like, oh no, I forgot.
And I want to see what's in that ledger. It's like 4 o'clock, clean the microwave, 7, you know, dress all the humans.
8 o'clock, some throat slitting, then clean up. Public faces on. Oh, great. That's a great choice, actually. I liked that. And yeah, it is a ledger. You're right. It's not a clipboard. It's a ledger. So that would be pretty cool to have.
Yeah, I want to see what he wrote in there.
Milton's notebooks. Not Milton. Yeah,
Milton. This is so great.
Yeah. His notebooks would be interesting as well. That would be fun.
So on each of these, I didn't go back and look what I said before, but afterwards I went back and looked. And I realized when I went back that I was thinking about it, like if I could have anything from the set, what would I really take? So my number five is an expensive camera. But then I had Daryl's crossbow, Glenn's hat, baseball hat, Daryl's motorcycle, and number one was Lauren Cohan.
I mean, all of those still stand.
And then honorable mentions, I had Carl's hat, Herschel's magic shotgun, and my zombie costume because I just finished being on the show.
Do they measure you for it, or what do they do? Or do they just have like a kit that they're like, hey, here's a men's whatever, try on?
From what I remember, I mean, there was a room with just 100 different, you know, grossed out zombie costumes hanging up on hangers. And the costume person took me back, and I think she just kind of eyeballed me. And she's like, this should work. And she asked my shoe size.
Oh, that's awesome. And so, did it work? Was it? I mean, yeah, clearly.
Perfect.
You were not a naked zombie, so it clearly worked.
I loved it, too. I really did want to take that home. I took pictures of it and tried to find the exact items afterwards.
Yeah, oh man, that's awesome.
Okay, now we have some listener responses. There's a bunch for all of these, so let's go through them.
Derek O'Neill says, Michonne's katana, unless dog is considered a prop, then I'd want dog. I mean, yeah. Great choices all.
Tej Mateel says, can I say the screwdriver that was in the room with Andrea and Milton? I don't want to keep it. I would just want it to free Andrea 1 minute sooner so she made it to later seasons. Ah, that's really interesting.
Aw, Tej.
I like that.
Chuck Case said, Derek, you're totally in my head. Yeah, the katana, or what would be really cool would be a wall that had everyone's weapons hanging on it, and for Halloween all the heads on pikes would be really cool.
Put them out in the front yard.
Ooh, interesting.
Yeah, I wonder where those are. I'm sure they're somewhere. Maybe they're in that museum.
Yeah,
there's a Walking Dead exhibit right now in this museum in New York.
Oh, there's got to be. Yeah,
Diana Driscoll says, Carol's brass knuckle knife. I forgot about that.
That is cool, to be fair. Mm. Karen Shee, who always has lovely, thoughtful answers, says, they're not iconic like Rick's hat or anyone's choice weapon, but I'd love the oil paintings of the Green family and Glenn that hung in Maggie's office at Hilltop. Mm. I still can't find out who the real artist was, but Jadis/Anne created them on the show, and they have beautiful impasto styling. Still don't know if the paintings survived the attack on Hilltop in season 10. Herschel doesn't know what his family looks like. Sad face. Oh.
I totally forgot Jadis made those. That's crazy, given where she ended up on.
Yeah, it's wild, isn't it?
But she was an artist. Bryson Wolf says, Carl's pudding, or maybe just Carl.
Aw, we miss you, Carl. Alex Baelish says, maybe an arrow from Daryl, a bullet from Rick's gun, the fork thing on the CRM guns, flowers and cookies from Carol, since they are all parts of surviving weapons. Fair enough.
Yeah, those CRM guns were cool. Though that was in World Beyond. And yeah. Maybe Fear. Ben Beck says, easy Merle's knife hand.
Gail Evans says, Aaron's arm.
Like his real arm, or?
I was just going down that thought path.
I'm going to assume she means his real arm. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a bit squashed. It's not got a lot of integrity left.
Maybe his other arm, his good arm.
Yeah, his good arm.
Moss Thompson says, I want Rick Grimes' Colt Python.
Oh, yeah. Emily Rochette says, Alpha's mask.
Nathan Eshelman, maybe Herschel's watch. I like the idea of a prop that's not immediately recognizable as a Walking Dead object, but still has a story behind it. Me too. I love that.
Classy. I like that. Veronica Hood says, the necklace that Rosita made for Abraham from the busted out light. Oh, that's nice. I'd forgotten about that because Abraham was such a dick to her. But yes, nice choice.
I don't even remember that, to be honest. He made a necklace from a light. Interesting.
He did, yeah.
Unwin Carver Holtzhausen says, I made one for my Rosita cosplay. Oh, she made it too. That's cool.
Oh. Mark Kirkman says, the red-handled machete.
Yep. Greg Schwamm says, I mean, it's a cliche, but if I'm choosing, it's got to be the Grimes family hat. I mean, yeah.
The Grimes family hat. Brad Holt has another vote for Rick's 0.357 Colt Python. Iconic.
I'll try to remember to put up a picture of myself in my Rick Grimes getup. I tried to point the gun down like he used to do, you know, like that.
Yes. Angle.
Ashley Edward Wolf says, Rick's boots, Colt, and hat in that order.
Oh, yeah. Gemma Hall says, Carl's hat, Daryl's crossbow, Michonne's sword, orange backpack.
The orange backpack is very sad to me. That's just what
yes.
I said, fuck that guy. We don't know him.
Screw you, stranger.
But it would be a cool prop top. Megan Dively-Layman says, Michonne's sword.
Owen Griffiths says, Herschel's head.
That always reminds me, once we were at, me and Karen were at, I think it was the first Walker Stalker, and we saw like a picnic table, you know, with a red and white cross, and Herschel's head laying on the side, and he was slurping up some spaghetti. And, and she went to touch it, and it turns out it was a real guy.
Ew!
He like turned to look at her, and she's like, ah!
That's so funny. Gross.
Owen Griffiths says Herschel's head. Wait, do we already do that? Yeah. Alma Contreras says, I already have a katana. Lucille would be pretty cool. Yeah, I thought more people would say Lucille, actually.
Yeah, same. Tammy Barr, katana was the first thing that came to mind, but the giant pudding jar, Rick's hat, or Merle's arm would all be really cool. Nice.
And Merle's real arm, I'm assuming. Steve Barr says, oh, just a few of those $700,000 Alexandria houses. I'm not picky.
Yeah. Canny. Penny Lennox says Daryl's vest. So I guess that's more of a costume than a prop. I went quite big on costume though, Penny. So yeah. Great minds.
Damian Vitale, the Grimes sheriff hat, Daryl's crossbow, and or Michonne's katana. All three iconic.
Nice. Rima Jo says the red machete and Daryl's motorcycle.
Yep, which I could totally see her riding around. Mm-hmm. Penny Lennox says Herschel's watch.
Ryan Holovich says Negan's spaghetti. Nice.
David S.K., Rick's python.
Ginger Martinez, Rick's hat and Michonne's sword.
Dave Pleninger, Daryl's crossbow.
Kristen Crabtree, dog. I just want a dog. Oh, I just want dog.
I just want a dog. Any dog. Elizabeth Any Swoopy dog. Says, such a good question. Maybe Carol's brass knuckles knife or the rocker from the porch. I think my number one would be the handprints.
Oh, that's cute. Lisa Edmondson Walker says, Michonne's katana, though the Alexandria House's pre-whisperer would be pretty nice.
I think, some of those are on sale now. You can go live in the pudding house.
Really?
Yeah, maybe someone already bought it at this point. Des Combe says the governor's head tank.
Ian Westwell says what I'm pretty sure would also be Peter's answer, the Hyundai Tucson, which was a real character in season two.
I know. I got to lean right up against that. And as a zombie, a bunch of us crowding around on the hood while Glenn and Maggie were right there inside. And we were like growling at him. Grr.
I just love the product placement of like, is it Herschel or Dale? Dale's like, Shane, why don't you get in your nice fancy new car and drive off? And I'm like, how's the fuel efficiency, Dale?
It was just ridiculous because they couldn't really let it get wrecked or dirty or anything. So it very much stuck out.
Yeah.
The rest of the zombie apocalypse. People misremember that, at least as far as I know, that Lori flipped that, but that was a different car because you could not mess with the Hyundai. Alicia Stout, Rick's hat.
Todd Clegg, Lucille.
And Jonathan Bukalil, that vat of chocolate pudding. I can't imagine what state that's in at this point.
Oh, rancid, I would imagine. Ew.
Jonathan really likes pudding. Jonathan, by the way, just joined me and Eric and Rich for the Obi-Wan podcast, and he was really great on there. It was fun to podcast with Jonathan.
Oh, amazing.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
All right, moving on to top five things we would do if we got bit, which originally came from Walking Dead Cast 29 from April 2011. And as I mentioned, it's actually a dark one if you take it seriously. Oh, so we'll see if we did.
Oh, God, I might be not taking it seriously enough.
That's okay. totally fair.
Okay, so my first one was settle grudges in my favor. So I don't know if that meant I would go and make people feel really guilty about everything they'd wronged me with.
Who cares?
Try and finish my business. Try and finish my business and make some enemies feel bad, make some loved ones feel nice, you know.
All right, my number five, which I went back and listened, and Karen said, I think she said this, but I kind of made fun of her because we didn't know it'd actually be effective, but chop off whatever body part got bitten.
Oh, yeah, that's smart.
Because then we learned with Herschel, I mean, if it's a pinky toe, awesome. If it's, you know, your face, then you're kind of out of
luck.
Yeah,
less good. Less good. Okay, I've written drugs if available. I feel like I've lived my life quite safely and non-experimentally. If I'd gotten bit, I may as well try it if there were any to hand.
Just try them all.
Yeah, why not? You know, screw it.
Let's see. If I were you, because I've had some experience in that realm. I would, if you had any MDMA around, try that one.
Just go for it. Okay, cool. Yeah, maybe I'll just keep some emergency on me.
it's zombie apocalypse.
Just in case.
It's good to have
just
on hand. Yeah. Give some to a zombie.
Like
so
one,
it happens.
Like one of those cyanide pills that you keep in your mouth if you're a spy. I'll just keep an MDMA there.
Well, you know, because for people who don't know, that's ecstasy. I don't recommend everyone go out and try it or anything. But the idea
only if you've been bitten by a zombie.
Yeah, if you're about to die, go for it. So, but it makes you feel really lovey-dovey, right? And maybe if you gave one to a zombie, they might just be like,
imagine if that was the cure. Imagine if we just found the cure right there. It just needs to be a mad zombie party. Why not?
Okay, my number four is say my goodbyes, assuming I got bitten somewhere that you can't chop off. Like tell my family I love them and I'm proud of them. And I want to be specific, especially if my kids are around, about what I'm so proud of them for, and encourage them to fight on. And man, yeah, thinking about this, like when I first answered it, Nico was 9 months old and now he's 10 years old and Bodhi's 5.
Oh no, he's 10 years old. Bloody hell.
So it's sad to think about, but it also reminds me to be grateful for the time I have with them and remember to tell them these things now while I still can.
Yeah. I also had time with loved ones. You know, if you can do it, that's a good thing to do. So yeah, spend time with loved ones. So mainly my cats, who won't care, but you know.
Peter might get a little nod.
Oh, he might. I mean, he might. It depends what he's done that day to annoy me. So yeah.
My number three is GTFO, get the fuck out. So I would first just let everyone know where anything useful is. And anything useful I can to help them, and then just get away from people as far as I can, of course.
Yeah, I'm not as nice of a person because I've put go skydiving.
That's great.
I'm like,
without a parachute, right?
Clearly I need to live every day as though I've been bit. But yeah, I was like, I'd never do a skydive, but if I'd been bit and I was dying anyway, like why not? I mean, I know that skydives don't necessarily mean you're going to die. I just mean that I feel I would probably die if I did a skydive. So yeah.
Well, if you don't have a parachute, there's a much better chance you will not survive it. It's not 100%. I've heard people skydive, their chute doesn't go off, they actually survive. Every bone in their body's broken. Yeah, it's insane.
Oh my god.
So that might happen. And then you'd just be laying there with all broken bones going, "Arr."
And they're like, and the worst thing is the MDMA cured you. And I'm like, oh, for God's sake.
Well, at least for a little while, you'd be feeling good about it.
Yeah, I'd be like, yeah.
Lasts about 4 hours.
Yeah.
Well, I'll skip to I'll do number two next. But that my number one is I just would not want to become a zombie. They look pretty uncomfortable, angry. Probably in a lot of pain, hungry. So I said I would climb up on the tallest building I could find and maybe take a giant swig of whiskey if I had some and then have one last thrill at the end. But I mean, I like yours better. And if you had some really smart kids around that could whip up a plane for you, then they could just take you up. And
if you happen to land in a very specific part of Texas.
Yeah.
But my last one was eat a lot of food so that I wouldn't be super hungry when I first turned. And also, you know, you're going to be very hungry for a long time, but not actually eat anything that actually satisfies you. So I thought, well, I may as well go out with a bang and eat a lot of stuff. So yeah, those are my things.
I wonder if that would work. You just gorge yourself and then you turn into a zombie and you're just like, what should I do?
Drive up to a fast food joint and be like, 5 buckets, please. And they're like, what? And I'm like, it's fine. It's an experiment. I mean, it's in all seriousness, I would probably go down the same route of like taking myself out of the equation so that I wouldn't hurt people.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's fun. If I thought I had a few days, I'd do some fun stuff.
Yeah. I mean, I was thinking of this. I mean, it's like if you have a terminal illness, but it's super short. And my last one that I didn't say yet is on my way to finding this tall building, I would try to spend some time thinking about the good times and not just be like, oh my God, this sucks. You know, I mean, it might be too hard not to do that, but I would try to go out just being grateful for whatever I had in life, you know, so I could
get
a positive note.
there's a good character death in the comics that's like about appreciation and like saying goodbyes to everyone. In fact, I think it's not a spoiler because the character's been dead on the show for ages, but yeah, Andrea gets
I was thinking about
a good
that
death. Yeah, I think they goodbyes. kind of kind of did it for Carl, but not really. But yeah, she gets to say all mm-hmm. her goodbyes, and it's very nice.
Great segment of the comic. So what I said before, back in 2011, number five, say fuck. Number four, say my goodbyes. Number three, give an inspirational speech trying to get people to keep going. Number two, get someone to blow my brains out. Number one, eat brains. So I'm fairly
glad
similar.
You said my brains out. I'm really glad you said my brains out. That could have taken a turn. Yeah, fairly similar. So not much has changed there. That's cool.
All right, let's do the listener responses. I got your joke, okay. By the way. I was like, would I? No.
Good stuff. No, you're like, no, I'd probably be distracted. It probably would be great. Tammy Barr says,
because wait, because like, yeah, like a lot of people think that if you are going to die, that you would just want to have sex. And I'm like, I don't know, like, especially as I get older. I mean, I like sex, it's like, there's more important things to do.
I feel like you'd be very distracted.
Yeah.
Like, that's the thing. Sad. I feel like there's something. You'd be like, yeah, you would just be like, I know, you'd be like, this is a fucking bummer. Like, no one's enjoying this. Like, oh.
You know, like, your significant other's like, are you sure you want to be doing this? Yes.
Yeah, I'm going to die soon. I think they're like, and they're like, you're real sweaty. And it's like, yeah, I know, it's the zombie thing.
You
like,
seem sad. No, no.
No, I feel great. You turned a weird color. No, I'm fine. Like, yeah, you're the best.
Ooh, baby.
Take him down with you. Well, Tammy Barr says that she would smother herself in hand sanitizer, which is a very 2020 response. And it may work. Hand sanitizer and MDMA, you never know.
Yeah, try it. Heather Millsap says, take myself out before I hurt anyone else. Nice. That's good.
Ashley Edward Wolf says, tell my boys how much I love them, and then I would head off into the abyss before I turn. Oh, that's a nice way of putting it.
Yeah. Liza Irizarry Alvarez says, eat all the chocolate I could find.
Ooh, nice. Megan Devlin Lehman says, live out any hedonist fantasies that are within reach before I kick it anyway. Yes, Megan.
So she's on that side, yeah.
Yeah.
Jessica Howice says, take a nap.
Good girl, Jessica. Owen Griffiths says, hope to be tied up to a games console like the end of Shaun of the Dead. Nice.
That's awesome. Alma Contreras, it depends if I could chop off a limb, chop away, but if not, dig me a grave and have one of my pals put me out of my misery. Yep.
Nice. Jody Morell says, drink a lot of red wine and eat exotic cheese and salt and vinegar chips until I turned, then off for a walkabout.
Penny Lennox, I just hope I wouldn't be one of those people that hides it and ends up getting everyone bit. Interesting, she hopes that. That means she's not quite sure.
Yeah, she doesn't know for certain. So nobody vacation with Penny. Damien Vitale says, hopefully still help everyone in my group until I was too ill and then want to end it before I turn. Not to be depressing or anything. Damien, that's not depressing. That's just like very noble. I was more like, well, let's just go to Pizza Hut. So well done you for not being like that.
Let's get my jollies as much as possible.
Yep.
Vince Pagano says, go to my in-laws. Not say anything and wait for the magic to happen.
Oh my god, that's brilliant. Oh, Vince.
Guys, how you doing?
Yeah, how you doing? And Vince's in-laws who are hopefully listening. Dave Pleninger says, depends upon the time frame in which you're about to turn into a Zed. If it is the Carl time frame, I'd let the love of my life take my life the way that way I know I've died in loving hands. Aw, that's cute.
I wonder, that might be, you know, I guess you'd have to know the person that you're with, whether they would want to do that, you know,
want to be
the one to do it. Cause I would think a lot of people might not, but who knows? some might. I think Jenny might, but I don't know. Des Combs says, which Zed, Rima, Jerry, Daphne?
All three.
That means which one does he get bitten by?
Robert Parker says, bite that mother right back. How do you like it? Oh, that's scary.
Jonathan Bukalil, go on a zombie killing spree until a glorious end clutching a still smoking shotgun. Goes out a hero.
Poetic. Derek O'Neill says, depends on where. If it's on a limb, then it's got to go. If not, I'd have to ask for someone to take me out. I don't think I could do it myself. Oh, Derek.
Yeah. Chuck Case agreed that if it's a limb, I got to give a try by cutting it off anywhere else. And if it was only a bite and I wasn't completely eaten, I'd like to say that I'd be brave and kind of play it off as long as I could, like Coral, as Rick would say, but I'd probably just freak out. Yeah, true.
Gemma Hall says, chop off a limb if I could. If not, I want to do something heroic, but I wouldn't want to turn. I'd have someone off me. Mm-hmm. Fair enough.
Alicia Stout, turn into a zombie.
Fair enough. Practical and achievable. It's a smart goal, I would say.
All right, we'll move on to the next one. We should mention that we're coming to you from pretty far apart. I'm still in Hawaii here, and Lucy's on a business trip in London. So cool.
I am. Yeah, we're very international this week. So if we sound a bit weird, it's because we're in hotel rooms.
Yeah.
But actually, right. Jason has kindly pointed out the internet in this hotel is better than my internet at home. So I might just live here now.
Just get a hotel room every time we podcast.
I think I might.
So the next one is, it kind of follows on from the one we just did, top five things we would do as zombies. It originally came out in Walking Dead cast number 22 in January of 2011.
Okay. I'm quite vindictive. So my first one was scare enemies. So I would find my enemies and scare, and I don't know if I'd want to eat them, because if they're my enemies, like, I don't know if I want to get up too up close, but I'd like to scare them and make them run around.
Mm-hmm. That's fair. I said move herky jerky style, because I like that. I want to be the kind of zombie that I like. And I'd also try to freak people out and as much as possible before I ate them. I'm just getting into the zombie mindset, you know. I want to scare, like you said, scare people out, but then I would eat them. And I would moan rather than growling, too. I'd be like, ugh.
My next one was get an agent so that I could get some good zombie extra work. So nice. I'd sign up with a zombie agency so that I could be in, like, you know, one of the many Walking Dead spinoffs. So that would be a priority for me. In fact, maybe that should be what I would do when I got fit. Because then by the time I turned, I'd have my agent. So, I'll think about that.
Yeah, gotta move fast. My number four is pretend to be normal. So I could get close enough to eat people's brains. Be like,
great.
What?
I like that.
You look sick. Your skin is great.
No. Nah, I'm fine. I'm fine.
Come here. I want to tell you a secret.
I've put eat well. So I would try and eat as much as I could and, you know, get variety in my diet and all that stuff. So, yeah, I would try and eat the best diet I could as a zombie.
I would write my memoirs because I want to write down what it's like to be a zombie, just so people will know whether I'm right that it's horrible or not. Throw in a few haiku in there, maybe. I think my handwriting would probably be pretty bad. I might have to dictate it to somebody. But yeah.
One of mine is make TikTok content. I think I could be a real zombie influencer. So I would download TikTok and start making zombie content so that people could see what the real life of a zombie is really like.
So wait, you would aim it at living people, not other zombies?
Yeah, I think living people, but like if I was getting sponsorship, I'd probably go for the zombie market as well and like try and influence like their style and stuff. You know?
Right.
Like what kind of shoes are you wearing for your shambling? Like that sort of thing. You know?
And just sort of tips on where to get the freshest brains and stuff like that.
Yeah, that kind of stuff. Like
maternity wards.
Yeah, exactly. Pediatrics. Like, oh, Jesus.
That's where it's at.
Oh my god, so good. That's all of our listeners have just hung up the podcast now.
No, the early ones are like, oh, finally, you're being dumb again. We love it. Number two, go to the mall, you know, just sort of as an homage to Romero.
Yeah. My last one is, I think I would finally, you know, do a marathon. It would just be very slow because I would probably... You know, you'd probably do it within the first week, wouldn't you? Depending on where you were.
Well, so, depends on if you're from the comics parlance, a roamer or a lurker. I guess you'd be a roamer.
Oh, true. Yeah, I'd like to be a roamer. They're like, roam if you want to. Yeah, that would be my
You'd be humming that to thing. Yourself.
Yeah, exactly. I'd be like, screw you, couch to 5K. I just did a marathon. I'm also dead, but you know.
It'd be awesome if the zombies started humming. I would, my number one is visit some politicians, maybe a few Supreme Court members, just a chat, you know.
Oh, yeah, just polite chat. Hold them close, whisper in their ear, right, you know, but because you know they wouldn't kill you because they're not into that. All about preserving life, so yeah.
I asked Bodhi what he would do if he was a zombie. He said just walk around and eat some rotten flesh. So I don't think he has the exact idea, but he's pretty close. And I was impressed that he used the words rotten flesh as a 5-year-old. I was like, where did he get that from? And Jenny was looking at me like, come on. And before, when I went back and looked, I forgot that our top five back then was actually top five things we would do if we were zombies and there were no people around to eat. So I said,
okay,
eat a deer, go to a hole in the wall Mexican place and get some brain tacos.
Ooh, nice.
Meditate and learn to ignore desire so I could transcend desire and I wouldn't be trapped in this endless cycle of trying to fill up this gaping hole and then of hunger and then I could then do whatever I wanted, be free, which then I thought is not too different than how we all are. Well, yeah. It's kind of how you and I are. Oh, maybe not you, but I'm definitely like that.
But isn't that what Beta did? Is like get all his zombie pals to meditate or something? Like
yeah, that's true. Like, yeah.
Rise from the dead or whatever. Kind of yeah,
true. Number two, walk into the ocean and take advantage of not needing to breathe and then walk around and check it out.
Oh, that's fun. Yeah. Yeah, because you could just walk straight in.
Number two, shoot myself in the head, which would be interesting to see a zombie do. And the listener said...
Brad Holt said, I don't know, shamble around looking for something to eat, pretty much what I do now. Fair enough, Brad.
Alma Contreras says, eat people.
Owen Griffiths says, follow some others like a lemming, say gack and erg a lot, and attack Maggie as she's the show's villain. Ooh, touche, Owen.
Damien Vitale says, I'd be a happy zombie and try to convince all the other zombies to be vegetarians.
Ryan Holovich says, travel the world.
That's kind of what you said. Alicia Stout says, I don't know what I would want to do. I wouldn't be able to think because I have no brain. Zombies have brains. That's the kind of the only thing they have. Then you have to get them in the brain to kill them.
Mm-hmm.
Alicia, have you learned anything?
Monica McGuire says, well, if I were a low-functioning zombie, I'd wander over the nearest, the closest meatpacking facility. And if I was one of those high-functioning ones, I'd hang out on the mountain hiking trails, feeding on lost hikers when I got hungry. Lovely. That's really interesting.
As a low-functioning zombie, she would spare humans, but high-functioning, she would eat humans.
She'd get the best. Yeah. Yeah. Interesting.
Wyman Owen says, shamble?
Derek O'Neill says, eat brains.
Gemma Hall says, I'd most likely be stuck somewhere, like my bathroom, just walking around in circles, or face pressed up against the window, moaning. It amazes me how so many walkers roam free in Walking Dead. There surely would be a lot of trapped ones. Yeah, that's so true, but I'm sure, it does seem like whenever they go into a building, there's Zeds in there, and they've probably just been there for like 10 years.
Yeah. Right. Yep. That is an interesting point, actually. Jonathan Bukalil says, suddenly appear out of frame in the middle of a field to bite someone, like they do in the movies.
Megan Debbie Lim says, I guess if I had any control over it, I would try to focus more on catching wild animals like squirrels and deer to eat. I would be a zombie wild game specialist. That's nice. Yeah. Ooh. It's like those vampires that are good. And so they try to just like go to the blood bank instead of sucking.
Yeah. Very Twilight of you, Megan. Wendy Ott Epper says, I hope I'm one of the fast zombies like in 28 Days Later. I'm going to head to DC and start creating habit.
Kind of my similar idea.
Oh, Wendy. Nice.
Damien Vitale says, I'd eat you, Jason Kabassi. Wait, I thought he Damien was like so nice about being a vegetarian and then he turns into this.
That's Damien. What happens.
I guess I'm
That's
flattered.
What happens once they get bit. Chip Case says, can I be like Ed from Shaun of the Dead and play video games in a shed? Wow, what a great rhyme.
That's Dr. Seussian, very much.
Yeah. If not, one of the zombies at Hotel Transylvania would be cool. Then I wouldn't have to worry about anyone bashing my head in.
I don't know if I saw that. Now I'm curious.
I'm not familiar, but it sounds very peaceful.
Erica N. Furter says, I would be in one of the zombies / Disney musicals so I could turn on or off my zombie powers when necessary and sing and dance to extremely catchy tunes. That's very Erica.
Nice. Penny Lennox says, Supreme Court brains.
I didn't read these ahead of time, I promise. Amelie Rochette says, I would do the Michael Jackson Thriller dance. I love that. That's so cool.
Nice.
I'd like to see that.
Love it.
All right. We got a few more things to talk about, but we'll take a little break. Stay with us. Okay, we're back and we have one more top five. It's our top five favorite zombie anythings, which we did way back in Walking Dead cast number 5 in September of 2010 before the show ever started. So Walking Dead was not an option for our lists back then, but this can be about movies, games, shows, or whatever else that's zombie related.
Amazing. Well, I'm going to go out the gate and just say Walking Dead. I mean, it is my favorite, both the comic and the show. So yeah, in case you haven't been able to tell by listening to this podcast, I like
it. I like it.
I like it.
I'm going in reverse order from 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. So my number five is this for the longest time was my very favorite zombie movie, but I guess it's moved down one notch. It's Dawn of the Dead, the 2004 Zack Snyder remake. Have you seen that?
Oh, nice. I have. Yes. The remake is pretty badass.
It's Zack Snyder's first movie, and I think it's his best movie because he's done movies that are kind of polarizing or not as good after that.
He's got a bit of that Baz Luhrmann thing where, like, I think the earlier stuff where they had to be more creative and less big budget was better than some of the big budget stuff. Like, Baz Luhrmann, like, Strictly Ballroom, Romeo and Juliet, I think those are way better than some of his more recent stuff. And I kind of feel like that was Zack Snyder, is, like, his more inventive,
right,
on a smaller scale.
Maybe you're right. I think Baz Luhrmann's new Elvis movie, however, has gotten pretty good reviews as far as I know, and I'm really curious about it. So
I'm really curious. Yeah.
I want to go watch it. But so Dawn of the Dead, I always forget this, but it was written by James Gunn, who did, you know, Guardians of the Galaxy. And Suicide Squad, the sequel. I love James Gunn's sense of humor. And it stars Sarah Pauley, who is, she hasn't acted much, but she's so good. And it had Ving Rhames and Ty Burrell, who went on to do Phil Dunphy in Modern Family.
Mm-hmm.
And it's got the fast, herky, jerky Zeds. It's got mall action, which I love. It's got, it's exciting. And especially the opening sequence is just such zombie pandemonium done so well, and it's scary at times but also kind of fun and goofy and funny. It's just a really good zombie movie, in my opinion. Great production, good acting.
I agree entirely. I didn't put it on my list because I forgot, but this was the one I struggled the most with, because you know when someone says, like, what's your favorite food, and you're like, I don't know, I like all food. No, pizza. Hang on, no, don't, that's not true. Pizza. No, maybe it's not pizza. I don't know. I feel like this question was that for me. I was like, oh yeah.
And I do the same thing. Like, every time I do one of these lists, when I get to the list or comments, it's like, because I just did top five sitcoms in our Patreon exclusive Zed Head Show podcast. And like, I forgot about Roseanne, you know, holy shit, that's a great sitcom. And so what's
it's
your
weird,
next one?
My next one is, I shuffled them around a bit because someone reminded me of this earlier in this podcast, Shaun of the Dead. I liked it a lot the first time I watched it, and I've kind of always thought it was a pretty good film, but the more I've kind of gotten into horror and zombie films over the years, I think it's just a brilliant pastiche, and yeah, just wonderful. Again, I think Edgar Wright's stuff was better when it was lower budget, like Space, Shaun of the Dead, that kind of thing. And yeah, I just think Shaun of the Dead is wonderful. So that's one that I will always like very much as a zombie film and as a comedy and satire.
It's so good. And it's my number four, which, since my other three are not movies, I think right now anyway, Shaun of the Dead's my favorite zombie movie of all time, which is pretty crazy given that it's a comedy.
That's good praise.
when I read about it, you know, I liked Dawn of the Dead, and I read Shaun of the Dead, and I thought, that sounds dumb. But I watched it, and it was so funny. Mm-hmm. It's lovable, but it's also a great zombie movie, and it's got a good story, and it's so British, which I love
very
and
very much.
Yeah, Karen and I covered it back in episode 32, by the way, if anybody's interested.
Yes, we did.
And I think it's Edgar Wright's, well, it's his first big movie. He has another movie listed in his IMDb, but I think that might have been a student film or something. I kind of agree with you about his movies over time, but I don't think it's quite as drastic a shift as Zack Snyder, because I think Hot Fuzz, Scott Pilgrim versus the World.
Hot Fuzz is brilliant. Yeah.
Baby Driver, I love. Last Night in Soho, I thought was pretty good, but it wasn't my favorite. But I still think he's pretty quality all the way through.
I still haven't seen Last Night in Soho. I really want to, and I still haven't gotten around to it.
I think you might do it.
Yeah. I think Edgar Wright is still like a good director.
He's one of my favorites.
I have such affection for Spaced. Like, it's just like the show. I think it's probably one of my favorite shows of all time. And I think Shaun of the Dead captures the Spaced sense of humor really, really well, which I think is one of the reasons that I'm so kind of attached to it.
Yeah.
It's even got, I think, almost all of the cast of Spaced are in it in various forms.
Nick Frost, you see
Jessica Hines, Simon Nick Pegg, Frost, Simon Pegg.
Bill Nighy's in it too.
Oh, it's brilliant.
Yeah.
So good.
And I think it's they got the idea because there was an episode of Spaced about the zombie invasion, so they just like expanded it.
Yes. I need to rewatch Spaced. I started doing it the other week and I just got depressed by the fact that it was like now over 20 years old. That's so old. But it is brilliant. If anyone out there hasn't been caught it, I think you can get it on Netflix. So go for it.
Yeah. And even though I love pretty much all Edgar Wright's movies, Shaun of the Dead's my favorite for sure.
Definitely.
Okay. What's your next one?
My next one, Train to Busan.
Mm.
I have not rewatched it, but I remember thinking it was absolutely bloody brilliant.
Literally.
Such a cool concept, such a cool execution of that concept, and just a really brilliant film. So that was one that really stuck with me over the last 10 years, just Train to Busan. Because we were starting to feel quite saturated with zombie stuff, and I remember that felt like a real bolt of lightning as a film and as a concept.
Penny and I, last episode, we covered, what the hell was that movie called? Hashtag
Alive. Yes. And
not Alive.
Not Alive.
So we didn't do Alive without you with Josh Hamilton.
Of course. How could you ever?
That would have been pretty funny if we did that. We're doing a Josh Hamilton special.
I'm like, what? What?
But, it was great, and it just made me really appreciate the Korean zombie, you know, like we just covered Kingdom before that, which was awesome too, and Train to Busan is great.
Korean zombies are badass.
Okay,
badass.
My number three is it's a game, it's the Resident Evil 2 remake that came out a few years back. For sheer zombie scares, it's my favorite zombie anything. If you're just talking the feel of horror of zombies, my list now has more emphasis on character and story than back when I first did this, so maybe that's how my sensibilities have changed over the years, but I still love zombies in and of themselves, and this game gives you the feeling of being in a Romero zombie movie. It's dark and creepy, and you're in this old kind of gothic police station that used to be an art museum, and it's dark, and you creep around a corner and you like see a couple of policemen Zeds gnawing on a body, and then they kind of slowly rise up and turn towards you, and you're like, oh fuck, and you have like five bullets, and you have to shoot them. Even if you shoot him in the head, you have to shoot him multiple times, and you never know exactly how many shots it's going to take. But then when they do fall over and slump, they may also just kind of crawl back up after a few seconds, and you have to get him
creepy.
Again.
That's so creepy.
So great. Karen and I, a while back, did like an hour playthrough, and it was really fun. I think it's on YouTube somewhere. But before I had the original Resident Evil 2, which came out way back in 98 at the top of my list, they did this remake a few years back and it blew me away. It really just up a complete graphical update, modern controls, and they knocked it out of the park. They completely redid it, and it's just so thrilling to play. But if you don't like scary things, then you definitely should not play it.
Amazing. That sounds really, really cool. For my number two, I'm going to chuck Kingdom in there because it's nice. Just great. It's great. It's like all the best bits of Game of Thrones, The Walking Dead, Korean horror, mashed together with amazing hats. What more do you want? Yeah, brilliant. And it really, I really enjoyed the rewatch we did because it reminded me of just how good that show is.
Did you guys go and watch the movie?
Not yet, but we're going to. It's on our list. Yeah, so
maybe we should cover that at some point soon.
Just oh, that would be brilliant.
Get the whole Kingdom thing. Really Peter fun. Can come back on if he wants.
Yeah, he'd love that, I think.
Be cool. All right. I love that too. In fact, I'm glad we covered it again too, because the first season I liked, but after we covered the second season, I just liked the whole thing a lot more. I think maybe the second season was better. My number two is The Last of Us, which people have heard me mention. There's two games, and they're both amazing. They're beautiful. They're the most beautiful games ever. They take place in different places in America, but start off in Boston. And because it's like 10 years into the zombie apocalypse, everything is overgrown and there's buildings like one is toppled into another one. So it's like infinite budget, you know, because you can just do it with computer graphics. And
amazing.
It's so cool. And the story is very, like, it has, I think, the best voice acting I've ever heard in a game. And it's about this man and this kind of surrogate daughter, and they have to go do something. But I almost don't want to say too much about it because
it's coming out soon,
it's
right?
It's coming out on HBO, and it's got Pedro Pascal and Bella Ramsey from Game of Thrones. And it's co-run by Neil Druckmann, who made the games, or he was the lead creative, and Craig Mazin, who did Chernobyl. You guys probably heard me say that a million times at this point. But yeah, and I'm excited to cover that on this podcast. I can't wait. And the actor, the voice actors who played Joel and Ellie, the two main characters, they were on stage recently for an announcement about Last of Us games and stuff. And they announced that these two actors are going to be in the show too, playing different characters. So I was just glad that they got parts because they're so good in the games, you know.
Oh, that must feel so weird being like, oh, I'm in it, but I'm not my part.
I know. But she's like, Ashley Johnson is like, the girl is, I don't know, 13 or something, and she's like 35. So she
I mean, that would be stretching it a little bit. I mean, there's the kids in Stranger Things getting a bit older, and then there's being 35 and playing a 13-year-old. Like, how do you do, fellow kids?
Exactly. But they were saying they saw some footage and they were just gushing about how it felt like the two actors captured the spirit of the characters, and the creative director said it's the most the most faithful video game adaptation ever or something like that. So
that sounds amazing.
They see, you know how when a lot of times when The Walking Dead actors, like around season 7 and 8, they were just talking about how great the show was, and it felt kind of like they were saying what the PR people told them to say. For this game, they're just glowing with pride about it. So hopefully that's
really good.
We'll see.
I hope it pays off.
You should ratchet my expectations down a little bit.
So my number one is actually a board game that I'd kind of forgotten about until we were talking about stuff just now. And I was like, oh yeah, shit, that is my favorite thing of the last kind of 10 years zombie-wise, is a board game called Dead of Winter.
Never heard of it.
It's brilliant. If you get a chance to play it, you should. The one thing I will say, the criticisms I have of the game are that there are lots of physical bits to it, so you have to spend quite a lot of time setting it up. And it's best played with a group. I think it's 5 or 6 is the maximum. And the scenario is that you're a group of survivors in a wintry landscape trying to survive a zombie apocalypse. You each have control of 2 characters. The characters, there's a lot of range. Some of them a little bit rip off of Walking Dead characters. There's a bit of a Michonne lookalike in there. You can also play the dog, which I've never managed to do, but sounds very enjoyable. And your character has, every character has like redeeming features and bad features. My favorite is the alcoholic mall Santa, whose superpower is when he leaves the room, everyone cheers up because they all hate him so much. And I'm like, yes, I can sympathize with this. But the game itself is so fun. It's very narrative driven, and there's a traitor mechanic. So if you're in a large group, it's likely that one of you is working to sabotage the rest of the group. Always have an amazing time when I play it. Can never get enough people together to play it or to be bothered setting it up. During the pandemic, I was looking to see if there were any online ways of playing it for the Zeds, but I think it's just too equipment heavy. But if you get a chance to go to a board game cafe or to invest in it, it is so worth doing. I'm not a big board game person, but I love this one. It's my absolute favorite. So yeah,
it's called Dead of Winter. Cool.
Dead of Winter is brilliant.
So are board game cafes are a thing?
Yeah, yeah. I've been to a few in North America. Yeah, you go traditionally, you book, like you pay for like drinks and popcorn and stuff like that. And like there's sometimes a table cover and you can just go and play different games and try them out before you buy them.
And so could you like connect with strangers and play games with them there?
Yeah, if you want to. Yeah. Try that. Maybe if we're over for the Zedhead thing, we could find one in San Francisco and go play Dead of Winter. But yeah, they're good fun. I've been to one on Victoria up in BC. The Saskatoon one was also brilliant. And they've not quite started reopening in the UK just yet because of all the COVID stuff, but they're good fun. I find it good because buying a board game is a big commitment. And if you buy a game and it's shit, you're then like, oh, I've spent all this money on it. So we tend to use it as a way of like trying things out.
Yeah.
But Dead of Winter, I think Peter got it from his sister actually. And I have now like hijacked it and been like, this is my favorite game. So
it's cool. That's a fun date night, I would think.
Yeah. It's really, really good. If anyone out there has any thoughts about it or like, would like to figure out a way to play online, that would be awesome because it is great.
Cool. Okay, my number one favorite zombie thing is now The Walking Dead.
Yay!
The zombies are pretty good and sometimes pretty great, but I think there's a lot of zombie things with better zombies than in The Walking Dead. Mm-hmm. Not the look. I think they got the look is incredible, but just the way they act and move and how scary they are. I think there's other things that I like better. But of course, Walking Dead holds a special place in my heart for many reasons. The characters and the story, the struggle to survive, and then this thing that you and I have talked about more recently is how they create family among strangers. I just so appreciate that that's a theme of the show and also what has happened because of the podcast and stuff, you know?
Yeah.
And then, of course, the experience of podcasting about the show and expanding that into podcasting about other shows, like I discovered that's one of my favorite things to do, and that's just inextricably tied to The Walking Dead, and I get to do that a lot. Getting to talk with the actors and some of the writers, getting to be on the show a couple of times, and then most of all, just getting to meet you and other people I've met through this, and all the Zed heads and the other podcast hosts, and the show just helped define my last decade. And like my sons, they only know me as a Walking Dead podcaster. You know, they don't know what I did before that.
My sons, Gareth and Herschel.
That's right.
Shane and Rick, Hyundai and Tucson.
Little Gareth loves to carry his clipboard,
his ledger,
his ledger. Yeah,
love it.
And his baseball bat. Honorable mentions: the Walking Dead games from Telltale are incredible. The Walking Dead comic series is great. I love 28 Days and 28 Weeks Later, and The Girl with All the Gifts is my favorite zombie novel by far.
Oh, it's brilliant! So much, yeah. It's really, really good.
And what I said last time: number 5, Shaun of the Dead; 4, Dawn of the Dead. So those flipped. 3, The Walking Dead comic, which I didn't even think of. It's, I guess, because it's been over for a while. So
yeah,
I don't know. I still love The Walking Dead comic, though. And then 2 is Night of the Living Dead, the 1990 Tom Savini remake, which kind of ignited my whole passion for zombies. And it was more in my brain 10 years ago. But now that so many other things have come out, it's gone down on the list. But
I did not know there had been a remake. That's really embarrassing. I mean, the original, I feel bad for not having mentioned the original Night of the Living Dead.
Yeah, no, the original still incredible. There's just so much good stuff. I think you might like the remake. The woman is much more of an active participant in fighting the zombies than in the
rather
original.
Than just like,
yeah, she's kind
bloody
of
Barbara.
And the 1 was the original Resident Evil 2. So let's go on to listener responses.
Listener moans, groans, and choices. Where's the top of my list? Here we go. Paul Williams, Return of the Living Dead. All-time favorite movie, Brains. Others to include that rank very high, in my opinion, Train to Busan, Reanimator, One Cut of the Dead, the first 3 Romero Dead films, Night, Dawn, Day, I Walked with a Zombie, 1943, The Dead Snow movies. Oh, those are good, actually, Paul. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Todd Snow. They're really funny. The Girl with All the Gifts, White Zombie, 1932, and Lucio Fulci's Zombie, aka Zombie 2. I already saw it mentioned, but I too will also add Fido to that list as well. These are some artsy choices that I am enjoying. Oh, yeah.
He's a big zombie fan. You know, Karen and I never covered Return of the Living Dead. That's a gap. It's goofy and it's very 80s, and it's where the whole brains thing comes from. The zombies run around saying brains.
Was it a remake they did of that recently with Garrett Dillahunt in it? No, that wasn't a remake, was it? That was something that like was, Zombie Casino.
Yeah, Army of the Dead.
Army of the Dead.
And it was Zack Snyder, so I had high hopes, but I didn't really like it that much. But Train to Busan, the ones that we have covered on Walking Dead Cast, I don't have the episode numbers, but if you go to Podcastica, you can search in the titles. Train to Busan, we covered Night of the Living Dead, Girl with All the Gifts, and Fido. And a movie on this list that I heard was good and wanted to see but never got around to, but is One Cut of the Dead, which I think is a Japanese zombie movie.
Awesome.
So great stuff, Paul. Yeah. Jason Erdman says, 2020's novel, The Living Dead by George A. Romero and Daniel Krauss is a hidden gem. Interesting. I was curious about that. It was released posthumously for Romero. The book reboots the zombie crisis to day one, then follows various characters' handlings scattered across the globe. This sounds a bit like, what was the one that got turned into a Brad Pitt movie?
World War Z,
yeah. The story is gruesome, detailed, and spans many years. Most importantly, Daniel Krauss did his Romero research incredibly well, nailing the atmosphere, the philosophy, the feel, the vision. It's an epic novel. If memory serves correct, there's a chapter told first person from the zombie perspective. Excellent characterization, different socioeconomic backgrounds, varying walks of life, and differing locales, a slice of life and death. A quality work of epic proportion would make for an enticing television series down the line as well. That sounds really fascinating.
Ooh, I might read that. Maybe that's a book group book.
Yeah, cool.
Heather J. Millsap, Train to Busan quickly became a forever favorite, and I don't usually like fast zombies, but what a great film. Never expected to cry watching a zombie movie. Yeah.
Sandy Parsons says, The Last of Us, a scarcity management video game with fast zombie shooting and an incredible story. Yes.
Nice. Gemma Hall says, Warm Bodies. Yes. World War Z. Amazing. Game of Thrones, Hard Home and the Long Night are just out of this world. The Walking Dead. I know it's not zombies, but I love the Passage books. Oh my God, Gemma! Have we never spoken about the Passage books? They're so good. Vampire Apocalypse. The TV show was okay. I Am Legend is similar and such a great film. Will Smith owns it. I did watch The Strain as well, but that just really disturbed me. I do still believe Walking Dead has done it best. The Stand was amazing. It had a similar feel to The Walking Dead.
Yeah. So did you agree that the TV show was just okay of The Passage?
I never saw it. I meant to watch it, and I haven't gotten around to doing it yet. Did it come in the pandemic or something? Like, I feel like I just... it bypassed me, but I would like to go and watch. I think one of the guys from Saved by the Bell is in it. So.
I'm glad you mentioned Game of Thrones, because yes, such amazing white/zombie sequences in that. Ben Beck says, and Warm Bodies too. Oh, well, I think somebody else is going to mention that. But Ben Beck says, I don't feel like it gets as much attention as it deserves, but I'm still such a fan of the Billy Connolly zombie movie Fido. It's a dark comedy and it's so original and clever when it comes to the zombie genre. I'm also still a fan of the Left 4 Dead game, which just sort of came back in the new form of Back 4 Blood, or at least it was made by the same developer. I still feel like Left 4 Dead is superior. As for books, The Zombie Survival Guide, Complete Protection from the Living Dead by Max Brooks is still a super fun read.
Yes.
I break it out from time to time to reread. He also wrote World War Z, but yeah, that's a good one.
They're both really good. Owen Griffith says, Dead Set, outstanding must see. Yes, Dead Set is very good.
Yeah, we covered that too, Karen and I think maybe just season one, but that was pretty great. Jody Morell, Wormwood Road of the Dead is a great romp of an Australian zombie movie. I'd never heard of that.
No, me neither. Vince Pagano says, the first ever zombie movie I watched and still holds the number one spot in my heart is 2004's Dawn of the Dead. There you go, Jason.
Yeah.
Vindication.
Solidarity. Wyman Owen says, The Walking Dead Telltale Games. Fantastic. Yes, so good.
Yeah. Ian Westwell says, Walking Dead, I Am Legend, 28 days / weeks later, Resident Evil and The Last of Us. I don't know why I love apocalyptic themes, or they probably die immediately, but I just love the idea of trying to survive in that kind of situation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I remember back in junior college in like 1992 or 3 or something, I heard of this book called Earth Abides that was about, I think, post-apocalyptic, and it was the first post-apocalyptic story I'd ever heard of, and I thought, wow, that is so bleak, but then I started to feel fascinated with it, and there weren't, as far as I knew anyway, that many post-apocalyptic stories then, but now, man, yeah. They're freaking everywhere, but there's something about that, just thinking about it, that's kind of thrilling, even though I wouldn't really want it to pass, unlike some people that seem to want it to.
Yeah, right?
Alma Contreras says, I really like the curry and zombie flicks. And of course, I love The Walking Dead.
Yay. Jonathan Bukalil says, Dying Light. I don't know Dying Light, actually.
It's a big zombie game. Looks pretty cool. Lots of parkour.
Okay, cool. Parkour. Last of Us 1, The Walking Dead. The Walking Dead, OBS. Kingdom, Zombie Land. Oh, I forgot Zombie Land. World War Z, 28 Days Later, Shaun of the Dead. Zombie emoji.
Yeah. When I think of Zombieland now, I think of that Amber Heard scene in the beginning. Do you know she's in that?
No.
Jesse Eisenberg's hot neighbor comes over and she's scared and he wants to brush
her hair.
Yeah, and then she turns into a zombie and chases him around. That's Amber Heard.
Oh my goodness. I didn't realize that was her.
Huh. Great list. Jonathan Derek O'Neill says, The Walking Dead comics are still my favorite zombie anything. The Last of Us 1 is a close second. Nice.
Yay. Chuck Case says, Last of Us and a board game called Zombicide. Oh, and that one show on The Walking Dead. Mm-hmm. And Shaun of the Dead is pretty great too. And Zombieland 1 and 2. Probably a bunch more, but that's what comes to mind for me.
Megan W. Lemon says, I never actually liked zombies until I started watching the show. Other than The Walking Dead, I haven't actually seen much zombie media, but there's a goofy arcade game my son and I love where you shoot real water guns to repel attacking zombies. It's hilarious, so I'll say that.
Nice. I've got Nathan Eshelman. This game bombed hard, but I really like The Walking Dead Survival Instinct on PS3 360. You play as Daryl, looting different environments and fighting off walkers. Merle is there too. There were even a few tie-ins to the show. You meet a woman who gives Daryl a red handkerchief, and in the show, he wore it in his back pocket for years.
Oh, wow.
I didn't know that.
I didn't know that. I remember that game because Norman Reedus was talking it up, and then it got heavily panned in the review, so I didn't bother playing it. But I'm glad that anytime there's something like that, you're going to have people who like it, even though it goes against the consensus. Kelly Burgess says, for games, I love Left 4 Dead. Resident Evil 5 was my favorite game for a long time due to the co-op aspect. The Walking Dead is probably my favorite TV show. As far as movies, I loved World War Z for how terrifying the zombies were. I also really liked the book Warm Bodies for something different. I never read the book, but the movie was good. It was really fun. And it had, who was that guy?
Nicholas Holt?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's the only thing I've ever seen him in, but I thought he was great.
Oh, he's great in The Great. He's very, very good in that.
That's what Karen said.
Hulu show. Yeah. Pig Allen finally says, movie, Snyder's Dawn of the Dead, show, nice. The Walking Dead, game, The Last of Us series, book, The Girl with All the Gifts. Classic and good choices, Pig.
Same, yeah, I have all those same ones.
Cool house.
All right, thanks, Scott. That was fun. I enjoyed that.
That was really fun. I liked that a lot.
All right, let's move on to some news.
Obvious threat to untold numbers of citizens.
The people it kills get up and kill.
Are they slow moving, Chief?
Yeah, they're dead. They're all messed up.
This is a Walking Dead cast news update.
So just a couple of things. We still, as I mentioned at the top, don't know for sure when the final 8 Walking Dead episodes will air, but I would hope and bet that we'll learn during San Diego Comic-Con, if not before. San Diego Comic-Con is July 21st to 24th, so it's a little less than a month away. You had one you wanted to mention.
I feel bad because I don't think this is actually news because it's currently airing, but Dan Fogler, who has been absent from The Walking Dead forever, and we all thought it was because of Fantastic Beasts, has actually been playing Francis Ford Coppola, the director, in a show called The Offer, which streams on Paramount Plus, and it's all about the creation of The Godfather. And he looks very good in the costume. Like, he looks very like Francis Ford Coppola in it. It's also starring Miles Teller, Matthew Goode, Juno Temple, Giovanni Ribisi, Bern Gorman, Patrick Gallo, and Colin Hanks. So, yeah, I think I might just have to binge that at some point.
Who does Miles Teller play?
Albert S. Ruddy.
Oh, I have no idea. I heard it. That's where I heard it, though. He was talking about it in an interview because I watched Top Gun and then started watching interviews.
Miles Teller. I need to. Oh, that dude. I just looked at his face. Yep, got it.
So cool. Yeah, glad to see he's doing something. I hope he turns up in at least
before
one of
the show
final
ends.
Eight episodes. Yeah, come on. And then last thing, I kind of mentioned this earlier, but the Museum of the Moving Image in Astoria, New York has teamed up with AMC for this exhibit called Living with the Walking Dead. Their website says this, quote, "Major new exhibition addresses the origins, production, fandom, and impact of The Walking Dead, one of the most watched shows in the history of cable television. Living with the Walking Dead explores the cinematic and literary antecedents of the series, including Robert Kirkman's comic books and the unique innovations it has contributed to on-screen depictions of the zombie apocalypse with its wide-ranging story of survival and diverse cast of characters. The exhibition includes such production materials as original costumes and props, concept art, storyboards, scripts, and a wealth of prosthetic makeup used to transform cast members into vividly realized undead walkers, largely using practical effects. It'll be accompanied by multiple screening series and other public events over a 6-month span, closing on January 1st, 2023. Mark Kirkman went to this. I saw he posted like 50 Ooh. Pictures and it looked fun, like a ton of props. And I really wish I could go. I don't know if I'll be able to get out to New York for that, but maybe
I wonder if it will tour.
Cool.
Yeah, it would be good if it toured.
Yeah, it looked fantastic.
Fingers crossed. It sounds really cool.
All right, that is our show, episode 472. Thanks for listening, everybody. Thanks, Lucy, for making the time to do this, even though you're in the middle of a work trip in London.
No, it's fine. It's nice. It's a nice way to spend a little evening in my little pod hotel.
Yeah, it really did kind of give me a feeling of those early Walking Dead Walking Dead cast episodes. And what will also give us a feeling of that is Karen said she'd love to come on at some point soon. So maybe that'll be the next episode in a couple of weeks. We haven't decided what we're going to cover, but maybe the Kingdom movie, or I keep hearing All of Us Are Dead is great on Netflix, or maybe some other movie. We'll see what Karen maybe she'll have some suggestions.
Well, I'm actually having dinner with Karen this weekend, so we'll discuss it then.
That's right. Yeah, maybe you can ask her. Yeah, you're going to meet her for the first time.
Yeah, imagine if we hate each other. I would be like, God, she's awful.
There's like pretty much a 0% chance of that.
Yeah, I don't see that happening. Oh, we'll report back. We'll report back.
In the meantime, also I wanted to mention Tales of the Walking Dead's coming August 14th. I think I mentioned that before, but that means, you know, we'll have next month to do some just fun stuff, and then it'll be back August 14th. If you want to write in or leave us a message about anything you want, you can find all our contact information at podcastica.com.
And while you're there, be sure to check out our other shows. I personally would like to give a shout out to Strange Indeed, who I was listening to on my commute this morning. Their coverage of Stranger Things season 4 is amazing.
Yeah,
that's a good one,
and it's a great season too. It's my favorite season.
Oh my god, it's so good.
and we'll be back with the second half of Better Call Saul coming up soon here, and I'm so stoked about that. And then soon after is Cobra Kai and Lock and Key, so it's gonna be a fun
That's a good run.
It's a couple of months of podcasting. This episode is made possible by Patreon supporters like Susan Wynn, who've pledged their support at patreon.com/JasonCabassi. So thank you to Susan and everyone else who's been pledging there. I'm so grateful to all you guys. If you pledge, you get ad-free versions of all the podcasts, and you can get a Patreon exclusive podcast and a bunch of other stuff. So thanks, guys.
Yay, thank you.
All right, that is our show.
Thanks for listening. Don't get bit, Ian Westwell.
Yeah.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.